Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Stronghold of Happiness, where we step back in time to a Dorset on the brink of war and the realities of life at that time, including Ella's conflict with her dogmatic father, who looks set to ruin her and Peter's plans. Over to you, Tom.
The Doctor's House, March 1939.
Just dropped in to see how you're doing. Letter from Pete, is it?
Yeah, from Uxbridge. He's training there for 12 weeks. I miss him so much.
Of course you do. I reckon it's a good move for him. If the war comes, and it looks likely, at least he's in his chosen regiment.
Dear God, that would be awful.
I know. I'm glad you've heard from him anyway. Afraid I can't stay ill. Mum wants me to help the elderly spinster sisters. Emptying their bucket being just one of the jobs.
Crikey, don't envy you that job.
I get 2 shillings and 6p for doing it, so can't get there quick enough, to be honest.
Good for you, Han. Thanks for calling by.
No trouble. See you soon.
From that Samways lad, I suppose. I'm glad he joined up. It'll do him good. But he's not the one for you, Ella. He'll always be a country bumpkin.
You don't know him, Father. It's so unfair.
Not unfair, Ella. It's sensible. Charles Harrington is eager to meet you. He'll own the whole Downside estate one day. You'd be crazy to pass off such an opportunity.
I don't even like him. Peter and I are in love.
Love? You can't base a marriage on love, my child. Poverty is the grimmest of neighbours.
I'd rather live on bread and cheese and be happy than to live in a mansion with Charles Harrington. You should hear what the locals say about him.
Gossip is always rife in the villages. The peasants thrive on it. Pay no heed to it, my dear. I only ask you to be happy.
If you really wanted to see me happy, you'd let me marry Peter.
I'm afraid I can never agree to that. Nor would your dear mother.
That's not true. Just before she died, Mother told me that when I found true love, to hold on to it tightly. As soon as I met Peter, I knew he was the one for me. I'd rather die than give him up.
Silly girl. She'll get over it.
Gamekeeper's Cottage, 3rd of September, 1939.
I'm glad you're home on leave, son. By all accounts, this year announcement is going to be bad news.
It's good to be here, Dad, but yes, it seems war is inevitable now. I'm guessing I'll soon be posted from call shots and maybe get promotion.
Well, don't let anything above your shoulders get too big.
Of course I won't, Dad.
Only teasing, son. Anyhow, before we hear what old Chamberlain has to say, let me tell you what happened this morning when I went to get some sausages from Brian the butcher's.
Well, something funny, I hope. Cheer us all up.
Well, 'tis really. There was the usual long queue, and as he was cutting off a coupon, Brian asked if we'd heard the latest news.
He always likes to think he has the latest gossip.
That's right, Mum. No one responded to him, and I asked what the latest news was. And he said that the day before he'd heard that Germany had marched on the Poles. Well, Mrs. Burden, you know her, Mum, don't you?
I do. She'd be a slow, bucolic sort of woman.
Well, hearing Brian say that Germany had marched on the Poles, she said, "We're off to work with eh?" Knowing that her son's job was to maintain the telegraph poles. Well, all of us in the queue had to stifle our laughter.
Oh, here it is. Let's hear what Mr. Chamberlain has to say.
I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received, and that consequently this country is at war with Germany.
Hannah's Bedroom, July 1941.
Thanks for the invite. God, Han, it's really awful at home. Father keeps going on and on about meeting that wretched Charles Harrington.
He'll be keen to meet you as well. Always wants to acquaint himself with any new girl in the village. Bit of a rogue, I hear. Tom, the blacksmith, told me that the locals call him Cuckoo Harrington.
Do they?
Yeah, because like the cuckoo, he'll sleep in anyone's nest.
Clearly Father's not heard that. Wouldn't believe me if I told him.
There's only one answer, Elle. Go to the Harringtons and make it obvious you don't like him. And that will be that.
Maybe you're right. But if we get conscripted, we'll have to go away. And that will be that.
We're okay at the moment. And farm work is not too bad.
Mucking out the cows is the worst job.
Yeah, the smell stays in your nostrils forever. But the weirdest sight is watching the farm wagon trundling up the hill, full of old white-haired men.
I've seen it. Quite surreal. Still, as dear Nelson said, England expects that every man will do his duty. And that includes the old fellas. And your mum, I believe?
Yeah, she's been called to do work of national importance. It's part-time at the brewery, which she's thankful for, because she can still keep on at your house as well.
Father's pleased about that, I can tell you. But it must be tiring for her.
Oh, she loves being busy. Gone to the WI tonight. They're collecting for the evacuees that have recently arrived at Downside.
Poor little mites.
I know. Some are always crying for their mothers, she said. And one poor little soul is only 3 years old.
It's wicked, you know, this war. I just pray it's all over soon and Peter and I can plan our wedding.
At least he writes often.
Every day. It's a lifeline, really. He's home for the weekend. I can't wait.
I'll make sure the stove is lit in the shed. Can't have you freezing to death.
Thanks, Han. Life would be impossible without your help.
Anything for a friend. Oh, hell, here we go again. I'd guessed as much. Heard our dog howling just now. He always knows when it's German planes.
Does he? Look, will you be all right on your own, Han?
Of course I will. Stay in shelter with me.
Thanks, but I'll be fine. Night-night.
Hannah's Shed, 1941.
Twice in one day. I must be dreaming.
My, you look so smart in your uniform. You'll have all the girls after you now.
There's only one girl in the world for me, and that's Miss Ella Harvey.
Thank you, darling. It's been a heavenly day, and so luxurious to walk through the countryside knowing that Father was miles away on a shoot with old Harrington.
The best day ever.
That shepherd was so funny, rounding up a sheep on a bicycle and panting like a dog.
Poor bloke's just lost his sheepdog, and actually it's resourcefulness like that which made me want to write about the lives of the farm labourers, their wisdom, tenacity and their sense of nonsense before it slips into obscurity.
I didn't know you were writing a book, my love.
Not a book, just some notes I've been making about life on the Downside estate today, which, with all the insidious changes, is gradually being eroded away.
Well done, my love. And I was just thinking that the countryside here, with the men working away at their skilled labour, was just the sort of place Virginia Woolf was talking about in her tribute to Thomas Hardy.
Oh? What did she say?
That the peasants are the great sanctuary of sanity, the country the last stronghold of happiness. When they disappear, there is no hope for this race.
That's profound.
I know. So keep writing your notes.
I will, when I can. The thing is, this weekend's leave will be the last for some time. I'm being posted abroad soon.
Oh, dear God.
I don't want you to worry, my love. It'll be fine. Just, please, look after yourself. And always remember the promise we made to each other, and that I love you so much.
I will. I love you too.
That's all I need to keep me going. Till we meet again.
Okay, well done, everyone. Greg and Susie are looking more relaxed, which is great. I'm guessing you'll all have some questions for the playwrights. Okay, if they fire away, Peter and Ella.
Oh, please do. The piece about emptying the bucket. Did she mean the toilet bucket?
Yes. Everyone in Downside Alley. Bit of a shock for me after our London house, which had an inside toilet.
I remember you being horrified at the toilet paper.
Oh, yes. The Western Gazette cut up into squares.
But if you were middle class, you cut up the News of the World.
But emptying it? Sounds pretty grim to me.
Grim? I suppose so. But all carried out with a sense of humour, which was so critical in their often wretched lives.
They must have hated it, though, Peter.
Well, if they did, they didn't show it. It was a Saturday night routine for the men. I can see them now. Most were smoking short pipes to keep off the stench. And I recall Reggie White saying, "Come on, lads, let's toss these sailors out."
That's disgusting.
No health and safety back then. Heavy work too, I guess.
Well, that's right. They relied on each other. And it worked. Which I suppose is a bit of a paradox when you realise how independent they were.
Were they proud?
I think so. They certainly took pride in their work, be it hedging, ploughing, shepherding, or whatever. They were all skilled men.
And not paid a big wage, by all accounts.
No. But money was never high on their priority list. I've heard Father say many times that he had no money worries, because he had no money.
But if they had no extra money, how did they afford unexpected bills?
There were none. No bills for electricity, water, or rates. And at Downside Alley, if a family pet was sick, they'd send for my Uncle Phil, who was a crack shot. Cats were put in a sack, which would be hung from an apple tree. Dogs were tied to the tree. One shot, and it was over.
Holy Moses. Self-sufficiency big time.
Yes, but there was one bill, though. Mother always had money put by for that. The doctor charged 2 shillings for his visit and wouldn't look at a patient till he had received it.
And we moan today.
Did your father ever speak about his childhood, Peter?
Not much. It was pretty grim, I believe. But he said that others were worse off and recalled seeing a young lad sucking on the teat of a dead sheep. Starving, you see.
Goodness me.
This is fascinating, Peter. Living history for real. I was going to ask about the air raid you experienced while on leave in Dorset.
Well, I well remember the 15th of September 1940, which we now know as the Battle of Britain Day, and I was...
Look, I hate to interrupt these historical facts, Peter. We will come back to them later. It's just that we're out of time and the news is coming up. Don't forget to tune into next week's episode, folks, which takes us to an RAF base where fate plays a pivotal part in the story.